I thank you that we can stand here this morning, Lord, not based on our feelings, but based on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that you send us a gift. You send us the Holy Spirit, the promise to be with us. And as you promised Joshua that you will not go through that Jordan alone, but you are with him and he must be strong, your promise is still the same today, to go through our Jordans, to take in the land that you are giving us, to slay the giants that are in the land, whether it's poverty or depression or lack or any kind of feeling we may have, any kind of perception we have, that we slay those giants by the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you that your presence changes us. As we come into your presence, Lord, you change us. You change us for good. Your glory changes us, Lord. So thank you for your healing touch this morning on our hearts, on our bodies, on our soul, our emotions, our minds. We speak to our minds and we say, storm be still in the name of Jesus. Whatever cycles is running in our mind now, we break it by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And we refuse to carry any yoke. You are the one, Lord, that calls us. And you are the one that says that you will carry the yoke. And you have carried it. So we thank you again for the cross. In Jesus' name. Amen. Feel better? Okay. Let's go. We are here this morning because of Jesus. We are here because of his cross. So this morning I'm going to talk a bit about preaching. And don't think I'm the only one that's allowed to preach, or Ains is the only one that's allowed to preach. We all are preachers and called as preachers. We can preach without saying a word. Because Corinthians says that we are like a letter that is being written to the world. The world reads us. Our families and our friends, they read us. I can say to my family I'm a Christian. They will not believe me unless they see me acting like a Christian. So, let me just start with prayer. Father, I thank you that we can be here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that your word is all that we need. It is your word that created everything. It is your word that is upholding everything. Jesus, you are the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And we give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have started a journey from Acts 1. In Acts 1, Paul started writing, I think he was in Corinth when he wrote the letter to Romans, the epistle of Romans. He's never been to this city, but he had a desire to go there. He realizes that Rome is the most powerful city in the world. It is the heart of the empire of Rome. They are conquering all the nations of the world. History says that Rome, the Roman Empire, lasted more than 900 years. I think it started about 500 years before Christ, and it carried on till about 450 after Christ. So Paul is writing to a very powerful city. He's writing to the church in that city. And he's writing Acts 1 verse 16 to them. This morning our focus, let me start with our title, Jesus the Rock of Offense. And because he is an offense, we become an offense. I'm going to speak a little bit about offense. But I'm going to start at the beginning, where Jesus started his... Let's go a little bit back, Acts 1 verse 8. The words of Jesus. I think we prayed it this morning. Acts 1 verse 7, and Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. So the Jews kept on asking for signs. The Jews were of the power, authority. And even just before Jesus went up, after his resurrection, they still asked for a sign. And Jesus is saying to them, saying to his disciples, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. They wanted a king that would rule over the Roman Empire, that will overthrow Caesar and will rule over the world. That's what the Jews wanted. That's what they saw in the Messiah. And all what they got is a suffering servant. Because Jesus left his kingdom in heaven. He gave up everything in heaven. And he came to earth as a suffering servant to show us the way to live. So this is what the Jews had a problem with. And Jesus was saying to them, I want you to wait a few days because you are going to receive power. He was trying to say to them, the kingdom is starting with you. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and the Holy Spirit is on all of us this morning, when the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on you, my kingdom is going to start. And it will be an eternal kingdom. So that was Acts 1 verse 8. Then he speaks to this powerful city in Romans 1 verse 16. The most powerful city in the world at the time, 2,000 years ago. He's saying, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We said gospel is eulogion. So we're going to focus a lot this morning on what comes out of our mouth. And what comes out of our mouth is connected to our hearts. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. See, the power, he's playing with the word power. Rome is the power of the day. Caesar is the god of the day, small g. So Paul is speaking into that. He's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul is not scared of preaching the gospel because he knows that anyone who believes the gospel will be saved through the gospel. Anyone who accepts Jesus Christ and the cross and the resurrection will be able to live in faith by that. Okay, let's move on now to Romans 9. Then you can go to the first slide. The last verses of Romans 9, we did it the previous time. I just want to recap that. Verse 13. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel pursuing the law of righteousness has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, and I think it is written in Isaiah 8, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not put to shame, will not be put to shame. So we preach Christ crucified. It's the first point I want to make. And I think it's in the next slide, Daniel, 1 Corinthians 1:22. We preach Christ crucified. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. So it's like the stumbling block. You can think of you walking on the way and there's a rock there. You don't see the rock and you stumble across the rock. It can also be a snare. Offense is another word for a snare. When we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it can become the snare that can catch people for the gospel. He says it in this verse. He says there's a foolishness in the gospel. There's a foolishness in the cross. Why? The Jews expected a powerful king. But what happened? He went to the cross. He died on the cross. He died a shameful death on the cross. It's that shameful death that saved every one of us here this morning and has been saving people the last 2,000 years. So there is in that offense, the Greek word for offense is skandalon. I want to read you what the dictionary says about that. Originally a crab stick, a bent sapling like a little stick, a movable stick with bait to catch animals. So I don't know if you've watched these nature programs, they will use like a little stick and they will catch a small animal coming out of his burrow. They put a bait there and they catch him. The word then came to denote a snare or a stumbling block. Metaphorically, it signifies that which causes error or sin. I want to put it before you that the bait on that hook is our weakness. It is our weakness that catches people. It is the weakness that God uses as a strength. Every one of us has weaknesses, and our weaknesses differ. And sometimes we are ashamed of our weaknesses and we want to keep it in the darkness. God wants to bring it in the light. It's that same weakness that becomes our ministry. It is that same weakness that frees people in our life, whether it's family or friends or work colleagues. It frees people around us. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says that I first come and comfort you in your weaknesses so that you can then comfort others. You see how it works. God comes and he comforts us as we struggle through our weaknesses. He comforts us, he strengthens us, so that tomorrow he sends another person across our path that's got exactly the same weakness, and we can understand and we can empathize and we can encourage him because God has helped us to go through it. So the first one that I've got here is we preach Christ crucified. Second one is we preach the word of faith. You can go to the next slide. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. That's Romans 10 verse 1. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So God gave the law on the mountain. It's something he gave. It's not something bad. The law is good and the law is spiritual, and he gave it to it, the Jewish nation. But you can see what is the problem there. First of all, they were ignorant of the righteousness of God when the Messiah came. They were trying to establish their own righteousness. And the last one, they did not submit to God's righteousness. They didn't want to say yes to God. They wanted to stay in their power and in their wisdom. Where God said, no, it's I want to give you my power. I want to give you my wisdom. I want to give you my righteousness. I don't want you to obey the law in the flesh, in your own strength. I want your heart to be connected to my laws. Carry on to the next one. Romans 10 verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness that it is based on the law, that the person who does the commandment shall live by them. See, that's what I said now. The idea God wanted to show them, this is my character. These are my laws. I think they call it the Decathlon. It's the 10 laws that was given on the mountain. There was also priestly laws and temple and all that. But he wanted them to try and obey them, to serve God, but not to boast in it, not to do it in their own strength. They would be able to live by that until Jesus came. But the righteousness based on faith, this is now after Jesus, says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven. We know that Jesus ascended into heaven. That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? We know that Jesus went into hell for us. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. This is my second point, that we are preaching the word of faith. Let's have a look at that. In Greek, they say it's a rhema, tes pistios. Pistios is the root of pistios is pistis, which is faith, means to believe. A rhema is you have logos. The word can be logos or it can be rhema. In John 1 verse 14, we have logos, where he says that Jesus became flesh. The word logos became flesh and dwelt among us. The word that is being used here, the word of faith, that is rhema. It spells H-R-E-M-A. So logos is not used here as the total expression of some idea or person. Rhema is used of a part of speech in a sentence. The word faith describes the contents of Paul's message. The word of faith. He says we are preaching, he proclaims the word of faith. It is a message of salvation in which faith is the appropriating method of obtaining salvation. So we preach the word of faith, and people, when they hear it, they believe it, and they receive salvation. We're not going to get today to the latter part of Romans 10, where it says, everyone needs to hear the message. Somebody needs to preach the message so that someone can hear it and believe in it. So we're just looking at our mouth and preaching the gospel this morning. So the second one was to preach the word of faith. The third one is to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Let's go to the next one. Romans 10 verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you see these two actions? You need to confess. The word for confess, I think it's homologio. Just see. Yeah. It is from homos, same, and lego, to speak. To speak the same thing. So what we are doing, we are speaking the same thing that Jesus is speaking. Confess is speaking exactly the same thing that Jesus is saying. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's a continuous action in this. It's not something that happened long ago. You believed in your heart, you confessed Jesus. This is something that happens continually. As you are continually believing, continually confessing, you are saved. You have to confess Jesus. You have to, your family, your friends, your world has to hear Jesus from your lips. You can't just believe him here. You can't be an undercover Christian. You have to confess that Jesus is your Lord. When he does stuff in your life, you have to tell people, this is what the Lord did today in my life. This is how he came through for me, or came through for my family. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So he's picking up on the theme of Romans 9, the end of Romans 9, where he says, no one will be shamed if they believe in the Lord. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. And he's quoting Isaiah again this in that sentence. So the third one is to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. A little bit about Jesus. We have done this before. Jesus is a transliteration of the word in Greek, Iesos, I-E-S-O-U-S. That's where Jesus comes from. It's the Greek word Iesos, which is a transliteration of the Hebrew word Jehoshua. So when they did the Septuagint, the Old Testament, that they translated into Greek, all every place where Jehovah was, they replaced it with the word Kyrios, or Lord. Okay, and then I've got here, we don't preach circumcision, Galatians 5:11, that I put it on there. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I want you to focus on the offense of the cross. If I'm preaching what I'm comfortable with, in this case it was circumcision in the Jewish context, if I'm only preaching what I'm comfortable with, then the offense of the cross is not there. That, because I would call it a track plaster, that snare is not there of the cross. If I'm only preaching what's comfortable to me, I have to preach the unadulterated gospel. I have to preach the truth, for it either to catch people or to push people away. That's what offense does. It will either draw you towards Christ when you believe, or it will push you away. Okay, what is the next one I put on there? I said here, we preach the gospel freely. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. That's 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Can you see the wisdom of God in the message of the cross? If you look at this world that we are in, this world is so wise, it is so strong, it's so full of itself. And the cross comes with exactly the opposite. It focuses on our weakness. It uses our weakness. When we lay that weakness at the cross, we come and we are baptized. According to Romans 6, we are baptized into the Lord Jesus. And his strengths become our strengths. Okay, next one is, preaching the gospel is necessary because, I think it's James 1:18, this is why we preach the gospel. Of his own will, he's talking about the Father. The previous verse is the Father of lights that doesn't change, and every good gift is from him. Of his own will he brought us forth. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So by his own will he brought us forth. It's through the word that we preach that people are brought into the kingdom of God. They are born again. Okay, 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again,
not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, that is the word of God, imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news, eulogion. This word is the good news that was preached to you. Isn't that beautiful? It is the word of God that caused us to be seated here today. We believe the word of God that was preached to us. And because of that, we became part of his kingdom. So what did we do today? We looked at Jesus, the rock of offense. And we played a little bit with that word offense. There's a trap in that word that can catch people for the kingdom of God. It can also push people away. That's because of the word offense. But offense also means a trap with a bait. And I believe it isn't said explicitly, but I believe the trap is our weakness. Our weakness that we present, let's call it our, us being real to the world. God uses that. His strength comes through that. His comfort, as he comforted us in our weaknesses, he uses that in our world. He's placed each of us in a specific world. I cannot be in your world because he put you in that world. He put you in your family, that family that you are, that surname that you have. He's put you in that family. And you are like a priest or a prophet in the family that he's put you in. And he uses the gospel to do this, to be a trap for your family, for good. Or they've got a choice. Every one of us had a choice. God said in Deuteronomy 8, I hold before you life and death, but choose life. God the Father advises us, choose life. So the gospel is just the wisdom of God that he uses the cross and the preaching of the cross to build his kingdom and to draw people to him. So the first point we looked at was to preach Christ crucified. The second one was to preach the word of faith. And the third one was to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord. And of course, we want people to confess Jesus as their Lord. We don't want a one-time decision where somebody prays a prayer and say, I confess you, Lord, as my Lord and Savior, and they don't do anything after. This is a continual action, confessing Jesus as your Lord. Actually, when your heart has changed, the proof of that is it will come out of your mouth. Your life is going to change, and out of your mouth is going to come this love that you have for Jesus and his people. Then we said we do not preach our circumcision, we don't preach our comfort zones, we preach the cross. And we said the preaching the gospel is necessary because God called us into his kingdom by believing his word. He did this. Thank you. You pray for us. Father, how beautiful are your word. How beautiful is your wisdom, O God, that you planned this before time. You planned the cross and the beauty of the cross, that we can preach it today. We can live it, Lord. We can live a life where every day we say yes to you and we say no to this world. Use our lives, Lord. Use it in our families, our friends, our worlds that we walk in every day. For let your life, your resurrection life, flow into our worlds, Lord. And where anything is dead or dying, resurrected by your power and for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.